And, you know, and to receive the word with joy, and that is a good thing. Turn with me in your Bibles, go over to Hebrews chapter 4, and since you're right there in the New Testament, as you pass by the book of Matthew, go ahead and mark your place in Matthew chapter 4, because we're going to be spending most of our time there tonight. And tonight I'm going to call this message, The Biggest Satanic Attack You or I Didn't See Coming. Oh, here we go. The biggest satanic attack that we didn't see coming. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Last week, I taught a message called Jesus Our Helper. And we said this, that the greatest awareness that we can ever have is awareness that Jesus is right there to help us no matter what we're going through. And we looked at this verse in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We have a great high priest, one that is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, who is there to live a shared feeling between you and I, meaning in us and him. And we're going to go to the Amplified here tonight, and I brought my Amplified Bible. But the greatest awareness is the ever-present knowing that Jesus is in you, that the Lord is there waiting to help you. And we talked about a lot of different aspects. Time would not permit here tonight for me to review, you know, all of last week's message. If you weren't here, go back to our archives there on YouTube. You can watch that service and get that message. It'll be a real help to you. But we're just going to read these verses again real quickly to set up where we're going to go in Matthew chapter 4. But in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and the liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but we have a high priest, one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin." Glory to God. So, you know, the scripture is telling us here that we have a shared feeling with our Savior. Meaning, if you're hurting, guess what? He's hurting. If you're feeling something or going through something, he's going through something. Amen. Jesus became, you know, took on the form of a human being, and he felt all the liabilities, all the temptations that you and I go through on every everyday basis. We have a faithful and sympathetic priest, even if you're going through a trial that is self-made. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever gone through something that you yourself created? All right. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I'm glad I'm not the only one that has caused issues in my life. You know, we've all been there. Even if you're in a self-created circumstance, I'm here to tell you that the Lord is still there to help you. He is still on a shared feeling. All right. He knows what it's like to have human flesh. The liabilities of temptation, meaning, you know, no one was more pressured than Jesus on this earth. There has never been somebody in human flesh that was pressured more than him. And it wasn't just in the days right up leading to the cross. It was every day he was on this earth facing the enemy, trying to pull him into a different plan other than what God had for him. Jesus felt the, you know, and heard all the lies of the enemy being pounded on, you know, being pressured emotionally, being tempted to sin, all these things that he went through. And the Bible is telling us that he went through that for us. He was here on this earth to achieve a victory that you and I could never achieve on our own. And now I want you to look at this verse because it says he has a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and the liabilities of the assaults that come against us. All right, we're on a shared feeling system with Jesus. Yes, he feels our failures. Yes, he feels our temptations. Yes, he feels our weaknesses. Yes, he feels our faults. All the pressure, the emotional pressure. Maybe it's financial pressure. Maybe it's marital pressure. On the cross, Jesus carried all the sicknesses and diseases of humanity. Do you know that? You know, so many times we're only told about the sin that Jesus carried for us. But do you know the scripture tells us that all the world's sickness and diseases were laid upon him as well? So if you're going through a physical test in your body, he's experienced that. If you're going through an emotional pressure, he's already experienced that. He knows what it feels like and even more, all right? But here's the good news about a shared feeling system with Jesus. Yes, he shares our weaknesses, but guess what? This shared feeling system, it works this way too. He shares our weaknesses, but we share his strength. He might share our failures, but we share his victory, right? We share his glory. Amen. And so the good news is, even if you're in a tough circumstance or a trial or a pressure, I'll tell you what, people in these days, we need to know and understand our great high priest, because Christians are more pressured and attacked now than at any other time. You say, what? Really? Pastor, are you saying even you know, going back, you know, years and a couple thousand years when the Romans were persecuting Christians? Well, that was, you know, a localized thing, and of course that was horrific, and of course there's specific exceptions to that. But generally speaking, the body of Christ across the world right now is facing temptation at an unprecedented level. And we have somebody, our Savior, has already faced that temptation for us. Amen. We can have his victory, we can share in his strength, and we can share in his glory. Go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Again, this is just real quick review from what we got last week. Go to Hebrews 2 in verse 17. I'm going to still be in the Amplified Bible. And again, it tells us even more what Jesus did for us when he faced these temptations. Go over there to Hebrews 2, 17, and we'll read verses 17 and 18. It says, "So it is evident that it was essential that Jesus be made like his brethren in every respect." Do we have any brethren here tonight? Notice the Bible says that Jesus took upon himself our same makeup, so he could experience everything that we do. He took upon himself a physical body. He took upon himself a soul, or meaning literally the mind, the will, or the intellect of man. Jesus could contact the physical world just like we contact the physical world. Jesus faced the emotional realm just like we face the emotional realm. He was made like us in every respect in order that he might become a merciful and sympathetic and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and the propitiation for the people's sin. So again, it tells us why he was there experiencing that, so he could be merciful to us, so he could be sympathetic to our condition and know what we're going through. Look at verse 18. And it tells us in verse 18, "For because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried." Every circumstance that could test you has already tested him. Anything that could pressure you has already pressured him. Anything, whether it's emotional stress, you know, sadness, depression, addiction, you name it, he has already been there. And notice the scripture says that his temptations were also called sufferings. When we think of suffering for Jesus, we only think of the cross. But do you know that he suffered, you know, in a measure, his whole life facing all of these temptations when, you know, he could have just stayed right at home? You know, he didn't have those temptations when he was sitting with his Father in eternal glory. But he left all that, came down here, and suffered the temptations that you and I go through every single day. You know, so notice this, if you're going through a trial or a test, notice there's a level of suffering with that. Yeah, no, it doesn't compare to the cross. But I'm here to tell you, somebody has already been there for you. Someone has already gone through it. And I'll tell you what, there's nobody more qualified to carry you to the other side of your trial, your test, your depression, or whatever it is that you're facing. There's no one that knows how to carry that or is more qualified than Jesus, your high priest. Hallelujah. It says that he was tempted, tested, and tried. Jesus is able immediately, everyone say immediately, to run to the cry to assist and relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and those who are therefore being exposed to suffering. You know, whatever you're going through, He's waiting for you to cry out to Him. He is waiting to assist you. He's waiting to relieve you. Folks, there's nobody that can carry your burdens like the Lord can. There's not a pastor, there's not a friend, there's not a spouse. There is nobody that can solve your issues in life like the Lord Jesus Christ can solve your issues. Your spouse cannot carry it for you. Don't blame them if they don't. Your pastor can't carry it for you. Don't blame me if I can't. Right? There's no best friend. There's no, you know, sister mega faithful or brother prayer warrior that has enough spirituality to carry the suffering that you're facing or the pressures that you're going through. We are going to have to get alone with the Lord, and we're going to have to cast those burdens upon Him. We're going to have to stay there in His presence until those things break and stop expecting everyone else to carry our problems for us. Boy, that went over well. But it's true. It's true. The problem that so many people have these days is they're waiting for somebody else to carry their problems. There's nobody that can. Thank God for people that help and they assist and they encourage you to follow the Lord, and they're a great example for you. But He is able to relieve and to assist those that cry out to Him. Now go to Matthew chapter 4, and here we go. We're going to take a deeper look now into the temptations of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to take a deeper look into how Satan and demonic activity tries to work against us. We need to know this and understand this. Folks, are you ready for a little deeper look into these things? Yes. You know, I'm going to warn you, this is going to be very teachy. You know, this is going to, you know, cause us to have to slow down maybe a minute. And we have to look at some things. I've just been meditating on these verses. The Lord has led me back to Matthew chapter 4. And tonight, we're only going to go through the first four verses of this chapter. So we started here last week, and now we're going to take it a little bit further. Remember, when Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, remember, He's not there for His own sake. He's there for whose sake? He was going there to be tempted so that He could become a sympathetic high priest and give you an example of what it takes to overcome demonic pressure. Jesus goes into this wilderness to show you that it is possible to overcome the enemy and that He is going to overcome him on our behalf and give us the example that we can overcome as well. Amen. Look at this in Matthew 4:1. It says that Jesus was led and guided by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert, to be tempted, test and tried by the devil. Isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert? The desert is a place of seclusion. It is a place of loneliness. It is a place of physical lack. His needs were not going to be met in the desert. We know so because He goes hungry for 40 days, right? His emotional needs are not going to be met out in that desert. He was all alone for 40 days. How many of you know that's a trial in of itself? Loneliness is a powerful force that tries to leverage against people to do the wrong things. You know, we won't go into that. That's not my message. But Jesus is in a place of physical testing, and He's in a place of emotional testing, all right? And notice the Holy Spirit led Him there. And like I said last week, the Holy Ghost wasn't leading Him there to fail. He was leading Jesus to prevail. And so, bless you. Glory to God. And so, He wasn't going there to fail. And nor was Jesus wasn't going there to prove Himself to His Heavenly Father. Jesus was going there to prove Himself to us. Meaning, to give us an example of what it means to overcome the enemy. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, the devil isn't real. Well, Jesus is telling you He's real. The devil is not just some made-up personality or some metaphor for bad things. Jesus was tempted specifically by the devil. And whether you think you ever have or not, let me just answer the question. You are tempted by the devil every single day. You have to contend with him every single day. whether you believe he's real or not. And I'll tell you what, if you don't believe he's real, he's got you deceived already. All right, Jesus had to contend with him, so will you. But the good news is Jesus overcame him. Watch this. And it says, and Jesus went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later he was hungry, or literally he was about starving. If you go without food for 40 days, your body will be about at the place of starvation. Some Christians, they look at this and they say, see, Christians, Jesus fasted for 40 days. We have to fast for 40 days. No, no, no. This is what Jesus was doing for you. You are no more required to fast for 40 days than you are required to hang on a cross. All right, you need to know and understand that. Because a lot of Christians today are trying to promote scriptures like this. They're trying to promote these fad fasts. Oh, Jesus fasted for 40 days? Yeah, I know people that have tried that and they end up in the hospital. You have to understand that Jesus, you know, was facing this for you. Anyway, that's free, no charge, but let's move along here. In verse 3, and the tempter came to Jesus and said, if you are God's son, command these stones to be made loaves of bread. But Jesus replied, this is an amazing thing for a starving man to say. This is the most amazing thing that somebody in a great human need could ever say. Jesus replied and says, it has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Isn't that amazing? He said, man is not designed to live just by eating food. A man can have a full belly, but still be starving. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Man will not be saved or rescued by bread. Man will only be rescued by the word of God. Now let's get into this. Folks, tonight I'm going to give you three temptations that Jesus faced. Three temptations that Jesus Christ faced. And we're going to get all of these things from the first four verses of Matthew chapter 4. And we're just going to kind of draw these things out. They're all going to be related. They're all going to be very similar or synonymous terms. Are you ready to take a little deeper look into what the devil was trying to do against Jesus? All right. Notice this. We're going to start right where we left off last week. Number one, the first test we're going to talk about here is the test of human needs. The test of human needs. Satan will try to take your natural physical needs and use them against you. Why was the enemy coming against Jesus here? Well, he was coming against Jesus because Jesus was hungry. He was at the point of starving to death. He was in great human or physical need. All right? And so we see this. All right? Now, we're going to just start saying some things, and we're going to get some things that the Lord would have for us here tonight. Folks, this is the subtle satanic attack that very few of us ever see coming. All right? We don't see this coming sometimes when he uses our needs against us. This is the subtle satanic attack that very few of us see coming. Satan is tempting Jesus to put his physical needs first. All right? And you say, well, what's, our mind will say, well, what's wrong with that? That's just so natural. That just seems very obvious here. Well, hold on. You're going to see what we're talking about. This is Satan's attempt to condition Jesus' thinking that all physical needs should come first. Wow. See, we're all sitting here chewing on this because it seems so foreign to us because we're constantly being drawn into this thinking ourselves, right? All right, bear with me here. Satan's attempt to condition Jesus' thinking that all physical needs come first. This is a satanic temptation to develop a mentality that justifies putting obvious physical needs over things pertaining to God. Satan is trying to destroy Jesus. He is trying to make Jesus obsolete. He is trying to make Jesus irrelevant and useless, and he's trying to disqualify Jesus in front of God. All right? Folks, we got to know and understand this. We got to watch out for this. Like I said, myself included, we sometimes do not see this attack coming. It's very subtle. It's sometimes indistinguishable from our normal life. But stay with me here. We got to be careful not to justify putting obvious physical needs over things pertaining to God. Remember, is there anything wrong with Jesus eating bread when he's hungry? No. But it is wrong when you do it in front of, meaning putting it in front of what God wants you to do. Eating bread isn't wrong, but it is when the devil tells you to do it. All right? And we're going to take that line of thinking a little bit further. All right? Satan has successfully convinced mankind that there are needs in life that are obviously more important than the things of God. Oh boy. Satan has won this battle with the vast majority of human beings, and he's also won this battle with the vast majority of Christians in the world as well. We don't realize it, that we've been taught and trained, and we've developed an idea of thinking that physical needs come before God or spiritual needs. Ooh, boy. Here we go. If we get into the habit of thinking that physical needs or even our emotional desires come in front of anything that God has instructed us to do, we are going to find ourselves in a place where God will not be able to use us as effectively as we could be used. Folks, we need to know and understand this. Satan was trying to disqualify Jesus, trying to get him in a place where God could not use him. And the way he was going to do that is, hey, Jesus, just feed yourself first. Come on. Obviously, you need to eat. Obviously, you can't starve to death out here. Come on. Just use your power. Use it and feed yourself first. Some of you are still trying to make the connection. That's all right. Just bear with me. We're going to get you there. All right. Oh, even a vast majority of Christians have fallen, you know, to this mentality. Even every preacher has at some time fallen to this mentality. All right. Satan was trying to make it understandable that some things just got to come in front of God's things. Folks, let me just give you some real simple examples. You're looking at me intently tonight. Like, what is he saying? Is he saying that I shouldn't eat food? Oh, no, eat food. I'm going to eat some food tonight, right? Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. All right? But what is going on here is that Jesus is being tempted to, you know, with the physical need that he had, to put that need in front of what God had him to do. God was leading him there to prevail for our sakes. For our sake. Jesus, we could not have a high priest who would understand everything we're going through if he started to follow Satan's desire for him to put natural needs first. How many times? Boy, now I'm going to make somebody really mad here. Folks, it's not just a family church idea. This mentality is what God wants for every believer. When we say, well, you know, Pastor, obviously I need to have a job. Well, how many of you know we need to have a job in life? You know, we have to work and have income. But what if that job requires you to not be in church? Right? All of a sudden, we've put a natural need in front of a God instruction. Does God tell us in the Word that we should absolutely be gathering ourselves together in the house of the Lord? Absolutely. Folks, I have for, you know, almost two decades now been a senior pastor. I've seen so many people. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on a Saturday night, right? Praise God. But I've seen a lot of people over the years that say, well, Pastor, I've got to work. And so, well, the job that I have requires me to work, and I'm just not going to be in church because of it. Man shall not live by a paycheck alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word has already proceeded out of God's mouth that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but much more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. You know, we're not supposed to choose our income or our business or natural things over something as simple as God has instructed us to be in church, right? Amen. Oh, has the word has proceeded from the mouth of God? Are God's people supposed to be tithers? Yes. Every Christian should learn what it is to be connected to a local body and to be a tither. Oh, but Pastor, obviously, I got to feed myself. Obviously, with everything being, you know, expensive and all the inflation, obviously, I can't afford to be a tither. I'm here to tell you, God is saying you can't afford not to be. And I'm not saying that because this church is in need. I'm not saying that because anything has come up. I'm just saying because it's true. The mentality that dominates Christians' thinking, they say, well, I've got to spend it on this. I need that for school clothes. I need that to buy groceries. Well, be very, very careful about doing anything that feeds yourself before obeying God's word. Boy, I know. I knew it was going to be a quiet group. You came in so rowdy, and I'm up here praising, like, wait till they hear the message. Wait till they hear the message. Praise the Lord. Is it wrong to have a job? No. Is it wrong to have desires? Is it wrong to play sports? No. Is it wrong to have hobbies and enjoy nice things? No. But what if you start putting those things when you're supposed to be where God told you to be? I'm just using church as an example. What if we start to put all of our hobbies in front of prayer? What if we all of a sudden, man shall not live by hobbies alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? What if all of a sudden our hobbies are more important than meditating in the Word of God? Man shall not live on news alone. What if all of a sudden the news of the election starts to become more important to you than the Word of God? See, this is the test of human needs. To think that we need to feed our bodies and our minds more than we're supposed to feed our spirit. Jesus is saying man will starve if he just tries to live on bread. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well over there in John chapter 4? This just came to my heart. Remember when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4? And he said, hey, give me a drink of water out of the well, remember? He says, if you know the gift of God that was talking with you, you would have given him something to drink and he would have given you water that would bubble up into everlasting life. Remember that? Remember that? Jesus said this. He said, whoever drinks this water from the well, meaning just this natural water, they're going to get thirsty again. In the same way, we can say this. How many of you have ever eaten a meal and then sometime in your future, you got hungry all over again? Has that happened to anybody today already? Okay. It's happening to me right now. You know, because how many of you know the food that we put in our body doesn't last? It's not a forever solution. He said, if you eat food, you're just going to need more. That's just how life goes. He said, but the word of God will feed you for life. The word of God will feed you for life. Man is not just a physical and emotional being. Man is first a spiritual being that you can have bread in your belly, but you can starve yourself in your spirit. Are you here today? All right. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. This is Satan's attempt to hijack our simple decisions. This is the attack on things we don't even think twice about. Think about what's going on here. This is a suggestion that starts to make us slaves to our habits. Meaning, what if we get in the habit of doing something naturally instead of being in church, all right, or prayer, or meditating in the Word? All of a sudden, we get in the habit of just doing things for our physical self or our emotional self. Now, Satan has hijacked the simple decisions in life. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Jesus was not going to set the precedent of putting his physical needs above his spiritual needs. He knew that it only could be the devil that would suggest to do that. If you all of a sudden feel like, you know what, you know, and again, folks, missing church, you know, every once in a while, does that send you to hell? No, it does not. We're talking about the habits that we keep and what we do, you know, on a consistent basis and so on. Of course, there's vacations you take with your family or a rare thing comes up. You understand what we're talking about here. I'm speaking in, you know, just a general sense here. But if we develop an idea that we start to, you know, put, you know, jobs, money making, hobbies, you know, activities, all of a sudden we're chasing all those things instead of chasing what God told us to do, I'm here to tell you it can lead to a lot of problems. You will develop the habit that physical necessities are not voluntary, but the things of God are voluntary. Jesus was saying, I would rather have food from the Word than have bread from the wrong source. Amen. Absolutely. Glory to God. We have to remember this is an attack of the things that we start to develop habits. Jesus is not going to set the precedent. Be careful of setting the precedent in your home and in your life that something else gets your attention over the things of God. Be careful. Oh, an activity comes up. There's a lot of activities, you know, in our household. Meaning my boys have a lot of activities. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of that. But they know. But when it comes to church day or church night, guess what? They're going to be in the house of the Lord. There's no conflict or contest in our house when it comes to activities versus the things of God. And if we start to develop a mentality that church is just something that we push aside to do whatever we want, be very careful. Because that is a symptom of a much bigger problem. Are you here tonight? Woo! All right. Well, and this is just warm-up time. You say, well, Pastor, it's almost 7 o'clock and you're just warming up. Oh, I haven't even begun to fight, right? Praise the Lord. Notice this. The devil is willing to feed you if it will keep you away from the Word of God. If you have a price that can be paid to get you away from the things of God, the devil will pay it. Meaning, if you have a mentality that's willing to consider something else other than prayer or being in church or tithing or serving or all these things that God tells us to do, if we have a mentality that starts to be okay with doing something else, the devil will make sure that you find that something else. He will make sure. You know, Satan is not omnipotent. Do you know that? Do you know that Satan is not omnipotent? He's not omnipresent. The Bible, boy, I'm going to go on a deep dive here. Let's see if we can make sure to not totally confuse you. Do you know that the Bible tells us that there are familiar spirits? They're demons who have the task of becoming familiar with us. Because Satan has to learn about us. See, God the Father doesn't have to learn anything. He knows everything. All right, but Satan has to study us. He has to learn where our weaknesses are. He needs to learn where we might be willing to put a physical need or desire in front of a spiritual need or desire. He's going to dig until he finds something you like more than God. Have you ever been tempted to like things more than God? Hello? Anybody? Jobs? Income, hobbies, stuff, activities, all these things that we can have in life, but they're not supposed to come in front of God. The devil, if you start to show him that you're willing to, I'm just using these things over and over as examples. If you're willing to skip prayer for something in your life, he'll keep making sure that you'll have an opportunity to do that something. If you show him that you're willing to skip church, he's going to find that thing and keep offering it to you. Hello? If you're willing, whatever it is that distracts you away from meditating in the Word, if he learns that, if he sees you choosing this, that, and the other, instead of going to this, you understand what I'm saying? He's going to learn that, and he's going to keep bringing back that same temptation over and over. Folks, I am not here trying to say that you spend all day, every day reading your Bible. Do you think that I spend every free minute of my day reading the Bible? No, and neither do you, and don't look at me like you do. You don't. God doesn't expect you to. But we're just talking in a general sense that you are constantly seeking the Lord, constantly putting Him first. And if the devil learns that you're willing to do something, if Jesus would have been willing to eat the bread that Satan offered, it would have destroyed any hope that you and I would be able to get our priorities straight one day. Do you see what's going on here? The devil is willing to feed you if it will take you away from the Word of God. If you have a price that will keep you away from God's Word, the devil will pay it. Many Christians have learned this. Many local churches throughout the land have learned this. If we just pervert the gospel, make it focus on popular music, trendy programs, if we stay away from conviction, if we stay away from challenging doctrine, then maybe more people will come in. Maybe more money will come into the church. I'm here to tell you that's selling out. God does not honor that mentality. Woo, are you here? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. The devil will pay your price. Absolutely. If we start to show, I refuse to do this, I refuse to cut out certain things from God's Word just to make people more comfortable, I won't do it. If it means, you know, people getting upset, if they don't like the conviction and they don't want to be challenged, well, guess what? I'm not your guy then. I'm not. If you want to go and find, you know, fun and ease and stuff in the body of Christ, there's plenty of it. You can go find it in a lot of places. But see, you better be careful, because the devil's going to find a price that you're willing to pay. Mm-hmm. It all starts in the simple decisions we make to fulfill our human needs. I wrote this down in my notes since I was meditating on this. There is righteous bread or unrighteous bread. Think about that. Unrighteous bread is what the devil would offer to you that would get in the way of the things of God. Righteous bread would be when God blesses you with something, right? But it doesn't steal from your relationship with Him. Oh, have you found this out? There's nothing wrong with bread for Jesus, but it was wrong where it came from. Folks, God wants us blessed, but we got to ask ourselves, what did I do to get there? If you're holding back the tithe and calling that a blessing, I'm here to tell you, you're not blessed. The Bible says you're cursed. Woo! Oh my goodness, you know that? That's exactly what the Bible says. Well, Pastor, God expects, He knows, He understands. No, God knows one thing. He knows the Word. He knows the Word. Say, oh, this is hard-hitting. You're just being legalistic. No, I'm here to tell you how the enemy works. He's here to find what you're willing to let go. He's going to try to offer you unrighteous bread where it seems like a blessing, but the way you had, what you had to do to get it is wrong. Oh, my goodness. Well, why am I sick? You know, I've seen Christians. They'll say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm a born-again Christian, but I'm a bartender. Oh, boy. Boy. I have no idea. I have no natural knowledge of anybody who does that. The Holy Ghost said this to me right now. There are certain occupations that are offered to Christians that they should not have anything to do with. He knows and He understands that when a Christian is a new believer, when they're a baby or they're an infant in Christ, it takes time for them to learn and to grow. And so He gives them great space to learn. But as a Christian learns and as a Christian grows, they should grow to a place to know that there are certain occupations that are not acceptable to the Lord. There are certain occupations. Why is this in my spirit? It is not acceptable for a Christian who's growing before God to sit down at the gambling tables. I have no idea why I'm saying that. I'm just here to tell you, it's not acceptable. So, well, no. Imagine a believer who knows to tithe won't do it, but will sit down at the blackjack table. Just remember what God... You think you want this service to be over right now? Nobody wants me to stop preaching right now more than I do. In a natural sense. I never intended on saying that. But folks, if I don't, I'm going to have to deal with God the rest of the night. I'm going to have to deal with God the rest of the night. Absolutely. There are certain things that God will not permit. He will not permit. Listen, this is a warning for all of us, myself included. He is not okay with anything being placed in front of him. And I'm not saying that to make it a family church thing. That's God's word for all of his people. That brings us to the second test. Are you ready? And all this just leads together. It's the test of human needs. Secondly, the test of human priorities. The test of human priorities. Jesus had to face this satanic attack on his priorities because Jesus knew, perhaps more than anything else, that we would struggle the most with having our priorities straight. Has anybody learned this? Can we have open confession mic here tonight? What, when you think about, honestly, when we just boil it down to perhaps the greatest challenge in our faithfulness to the Lord. I don't know about you, I want to be faithful to him. Does anyone else want to be faithful? I believe you do. You're here on a Saturday night. Praise the Lord. You know, I know this. No matter how much I try, you know, the effort, you know, I get my priorities right. Everything's going well. And it isn't very long before priorities start being tempted to fall apart. Would you almost say that keeping our priorities right with God might be almost the greatest challenge in this Christian life, to keep our priorities straight with him? I would absolutely. This is a test on Jesus Christ to keep his priorities right. He's going through huge human need, huge lack. He has the ability to solve that problem right there by listening to the devil, right? Think about that. He could have, you know, turned his priorities away from the word of God, and he could have listened to the enemy. Think about this. Jesus was going through this test on his priorities because he knew that you and I would fail in our priorities at times. Have you ever failed in your priorities with God at times? Woo, we sure have. But there is one that went into the desert who was tempted by the devil on our behalf to show us that it is completely possible to overcome this enemy who is constantly trying to get us out of our right priorities. The devil is so subtle. All of a sudden you'll find yourself and you'll look back over days or maybe even weeks. Next thing you know, you find yourself, I haven't even been in the Word. All of a sudden you find yourself, I haven't been praying very much lately. All of a sudden, I've been doing this activity and this thing and that thing, and my job got busy and all that. God is merciful and sympathetic, right? But we look at it and we say, oh my goodness, this subtle demonic attack that came against me, it got my priorities out of whack, and I didn't even see it coming. Hello? This is the satanic attack that we don't see coming. You know, sometimes we think a satanic attack is just intense depression, which it certainly can be, you know, or an attack on our finances or our health or whatever. Sometimes the greatest attack that we have from the enemy is that our priorities aren't straight anymore. Are you seeing this? The Lord has just been dealing with me. Go and look at the temptations of Christ. Sit there and meditate on this and watch the things that you'll see. All of a sudden, Jesus, you know, in great need. He was in a time of feeling a great physical weakness, and he could have listened to the voice of the enemy. Anything that tells you to put something natural in front of what God has already told you to do in his word is always the devil. Boy, that went over well. Anything that would ever tempt you, you know, and we've all been there. All of a sudden, and I keep using the same examples because they're just easy to think of. We all have different examples in our personal lives. I mean, think about how easy it would be. What does the devil want to do? He wants to starve you spiritually. He will offer you anything to keep you out of your church because he wants to starve you. He wants to get you away from your pastor because he wants to starve you. He wants to keep you from reading the Bible and meditating in the Word because he wants to starve you. Oh boy. Because starving Christians are going to be ineffective Christians. Are you here tonight? The test of priorities. Jesus had to face this on our behalf because he knew we would struggle with this perhaps most of all. He knew that we would need to cry out to him and confess to him many times throughout our life that our priorities are wrong. Have you confessed lately that your priorities are wrong? I mean, maybe they're not wrong. I'm not saying they are. But have you ever had to do that as a Christian? Yes. Every week of my life is a nonstop looking at my priorities. And then I see, well, that fell out of place. Got to correct that. Oh, I see where my priorities got, pulled in the wrong direction over here. Got to fix that. Because Jesus has been through that temptation, you can say, Lord, help me to have the right priority. Help me to see. Do you know that there's a prayer in the scripture to help you to have the right priorities? Do you know there's a scripture? You don't need to turn there. Can you bring up Philippians 1:9? Oh my goodness. The devil wants your priorities wrong because God has one order and one order only, and that's him first. Hallelujah. What is going to church? Putting God first. What is being a tither? Putting God first. What is serving with your time? Putting God first. What is praising God, lifting your hands, your voice? Putting God first. What is forgiving people that do you wrong? What is it? Putting God first. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a prayer in the Bible for this. And this I pray. The Holy Spirit made sure to record this prayer in God's eternal word because it's a prayer that we could pray. This I pray, that your love would abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. Boy, the Amplified gets wordy sometimes, doesn't it? But verse 10 is what we're trying to get to. Remember, this is a prayer. So that you may surely learn to sense what is vital. God says when you walk in his love, he wants his spirit to dwell with you, upon you, and within you. So you start to develop a sense of what is vital or what is priority. Walking in a spirit-filled life is walking with a sense of what is priority in this life. Nothing will bless your life more when your priorities get right. Not saying that your priorities aren't right. Again, you're in church on a Saturday night. It seems like we've got some good priorities around here. All right? But I'm just, I'm preaching this truth that nothing will bless your life more than having your priorities straight. But here's the other side of it. Nothing will hurt your life more than when your priorities fall out of whack. There is a demonic assault against the body of Christ to get priorities wrong. The enemy is not just trying to, show up at our front door with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. He's not just showing up, trying to scare us and all this stuff. He's being very subtle to get our priorities wrong. Where all of a sudden we think nothing of it as a Christian to just, take jobs that take us out of church. Or to pick up activities that just take us out of church. We think nothing of it, just doing this or doing that. Next thing we don't pray. We don't meditate in the Word. Are you here tonight? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. The test of human priorities. Faithfulness is the test of what we put first. Are you here? I wrote this down. I am what my priorities show that I am. Our priorities, if you look at your priorities in life, they tell you everything there is to know about you, which is a good thing, but it also can be very sobering. I've gone over and I've looked at my priorities in my life, and you find the good, and then all of a sudden you start finding things that shouldn't be there. My priorities or your priorities show, you know, they tell us exactly all that we truly are. I can only be what my priorities are. I will never go any further with God if my priorities are wrong. The Word of God is the bread of life, all right? You know, this is what Jesus was saying over there. You can steal my bread, but you cannot take the word from me. So that you may surely learn to sense what is vital, so that you can approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, so that you will recognize the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral difference, that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with sincere hearts, certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ without stumbling or causing others to stumble. If your priorities aren't right, someone else is going to pick up your wrong priorities. Your priorities get passed to your children. Your priorities get passed to your grandchildren. Your priorities get passed to your friends. Their priorities could get passed to you if you're not careful. Or that could be a great, wonderful thing. If your priorities are right, your kids are going to pick up on those priorities. God wants us to be able to sense what is vital and what has real value. I don't know about you, but I want my kids, I want my life to demonstrate to people that being in the house of God has real value. That being in a place of praise and worship has real value. That spending time in God's Word has real value. The test of human priorities. Jesus was facing it. Jesus, you know, was told by the devil to make, you know, stones into bread. Jesus obviously needed to eat, but he was not going to eat something that would cause him to be compromised. He was not going to screw up his priorities. His priority was to fulfill the will of God, not listen to the voice of the enemy. Praise the Lord. All right, and we'll say this. Third and finally, we'll end right here. So this is all leading up to this. This is, you know, all connected, all very similar. You know, this passage is just kind of bringing out these things. We can see Jesus was going through the test of human needs, which leads to the test of priorities. And now third, here it is, the test of spiritual starvation. Can you bring up Matthew 4:4 one more time? The test of spiritual starvation. Here is what it all leads up to. The final goal of every demonic attack, whether emotionally, whether financially, or being distracted, or whatever it is, every demonic attack is trying to get to this one goal, to get you to a place where you are spiritually starved. That is what the devil wants for every single one of us. He doesn't care. The devil does not care how much money you have. I'm just here to tell you. God's not moved by how much money you have. The devil isn't either. And I know that we sometimes can look, and yes, it can be a trial, obviously, you know, when people go through the loss of a job or something like that. But I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people that serve the devil that have tons of money. The devil tried to make Jesus, you know, rich with the glory of the nations, didn't he? Absolutely. Is it wrong to have nice things? No. Is God against you prospering? Of course not. He tells you he wants to prosper you. He just wants to prosper you his way. Jesus was not going to take prosperity that came from anywhere else. The devil was trying to prosper him, you know. But this was a test of spiritual starvation. The goal of every demonic attack is to get you to a place where you are spiritually starved. The devil wants to distract you from the Word. He doesn't want you reading your Bible. He knows that you read your Bible, you're going to be way more effective as a believer. He wants to get you away from your local church. Why? He wants to starve you out of the Word. He wants to get you from your pastor. Why? Because he wants you starved. Are you here? Yeah, absolutely. He wants to distract you. He wants to starve you. He wants to take you away. He wants to get you out of Matthew 6:33. Can you bring up Matthew 6:33? You're right there. We're just two chapters away. Can you bring up what Jesus said? Jesus says, but seek, aim at, strive after first. Everyone say first. All his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. Hallelujah. Then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. Remember what things he was talking about in that passage of scripture? Everything you eat, everything you wear, everything you need. And here's the thing, the scripture goes even into our desires. God loves to bless you with good desires. He loves to give you things that bless your life, bless your family. Amen. But notice this. You have to be seeking first his things, right? His righteousness. If you know, the Spirit of God said this to me, you know, on the way out here, you know, tonight. And I, you know, just because the Holy Ghost says things, I don't share every little thing that comes to me, you know, in a service or whatever. And I got to make sure I get this right. He said, you know, in many Christians' lives, I'm included, but I'm not exalted. A lot of us, God's just included in our lives. God is not okay with just being included. He wants to be exalted to the absolute top, the first priority. And see, what happens is, this is ultimately what happens when Christians starve spiritually. When they're spiritually starved, that's going to create more problems than what going without money will cause. The root of many things that we face is the fact that we're spiritually starved. You know, I was out this week. I had some trees on my property that I had to cut down. And I like cutting down trees for whatever reason, if they're dead. These are dead trees. And so I get the chainsaw out. Actually, my old chainsaw gave up the ghost. And so I had to go get another chainsaw, and I did. And the new chainsaw, you know, just has a fresh, you know, chain on it. And I get all my gear on, and I'm cutting down these trees. I'm getting good at it, too. Man, I tell you what, you can tell me right where you need that tree to fall, and I can get it to fall there. I use the wedges and all that. Anyway, I get into it. So anyway, I got this new chainsaw, and it's got this fresh chain, you know, on it. And I'm just zipping through these trees. Just zipping through them. Like, wow, this is great. This thing's cutting through here, you know, so quickly. And the chain on my old chainsaw must have been getting dull because it was a lot slower. And I've replaced it, and I sharpen them myself. But it just seems like after a while, they just get dull really fast. And there's not much recovering them. And I was thinking, man, the old chain was so dull, I'm barely getting through, you know, the tree. But the old chainsaw and the new chainsaw were identical. I got the same exact model. I had the first one for a long time. They have the same engine, right? They have the same speed. They have the same size bar, all right? But the point of contact at the tree just was not sharp. One was sharp and got through the tree, and the other one was dull and really struggled with it. Folks, this is an illustration of us if we're not careful. Think about it. In the realm of good and evil, darkness and light, you know, and everything that we face in life, think about this. What is the point of contact to everything good that God wants to do or everything bad that the devil wants to do? Where is the point of contact? Us. We are. Think about this. God can't do anything without you and me. Do you know that? Meaning he cannot win souls into the kingdom. You know, the Bible says that he's the head and we're the body. How many of you know Jesus needs us to do something? How many of you know if you know Jesus is not going to come and win souls to the kingdom, meaning tell them about how to get saved? That job has been given to us, the church. He needs us, right? But what happens if the point of contact is dull? What if there's nothing sharp about it? We're going to struggle to get through the things that we're supposed to just fly right through. If we're spiritually starved, we are dull. And what's going to happen is that we're going to come against things that we should be able to go right through. But all of a sudden we start struggling with things. Think about it. Those two chainsaws, they had the same exact power. How many of you know that we have great power on the inside of us? The potential for all of us is the same. Meaning the same God lives in us, all right? But the difference is how sharp are we going to take it? How sharp are we going to be when the moment counts? You know what I mean? Are you with me here tonight? I want to be, you know, very clear, and I'm trying my best to communicate it as clearly as possible. If we're spiritually dull, we're going to come up against tests that all of a sudden we're not going to be able to get through as easily. But if we're sharp, we're going to go right through them. The point of contact for all the kingdom of God expanding on this earth is you and me. But if we're starved, if we're distracted, if our priorities are wrong, or if we just think that we should chase physical needs over spiritual needs, we're going to greatly fail. Folks, do not let the enemy win in this attack. It is the reason for everything. Meaning, if you are in a place, if you need victory over addiction, guess what? Get filled with the Word until the addiction gets, you know, driven, broken right off of you. You know, man cannot live by bread alone. But when man is fully filled with God's Word, when His Word dwells richly in you, you're going to be able to go right through that addiction. I've been there before. Do you know what broke the addictions in my life? I got hungry for the Word of God. All right? Or depression. You know, anyone ever had depression come against you? Absolutely. Guess what is going to go right through that depression? Being sharp and fully fed on the Word of God. But if you're being distracted, if you're being pulled aside, or if your priorities have gotten wrong, or if you're not seeking Him first, right? Or if we're not doing things His way. I love how the scripture says that. Jesus said, make sure you are seeking Him and doing things His way of being right. Folks, that's why I tell you about being in church. That's why I tell you about tithing. That's why I tell you about praying. That's why I teach you about meditating in the Word. Those are His ways that'll make you sharp, that'll keep your priorities right. Amen? And when your priorities are right, and when you've got this order, notice this. Jesus said, if you will seek His kingdom first, everything you need will be added to you. We get it backwards, don't we? We think if we seek the things that we need, then hopefully the kingdom of God will then follow us. No. Think about this. The scripture, Jesus' word said, if you will pursue God's kingdom, all your needs will chase you down. All the provision you need for everything in life will follow you and chase you down. But if you get that order reversed and start chasing things first, now you're going to be in a place where the kingdom of God is going to start to become distant to you, unfamiliar to you, without priority. Did you get something out of this here tonight? The test of human needs. What do you need more than anything? Be fed every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yes. Well, Pastor, what I need more than anything is a relationship. What I need more than anything is a job. What I need more than anything is money. What I need more than anything is my activities or my hobbies. What I need is those things. That's exactly what the devil would say. Folks, if you find yourself in a great need, I don't care if it's an emotional need, get alone with Jesus Christ. Get alone with Him. Meditate in these things. Speak these things. Get filled with the Word of God and watch all your needs start to be fulfilled. Watch Him start moving your desires into your life. Amen. Don't fail the test of human need. Don't fail the test of human priority. And don't fail the test of spiritual starvation. Put God first. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love You and praise You. Father, we know that Jesus was being tempted to put physical needs first. Lord, we see that many believers, all of us have been there before, where we start to believe that it's obvious that we have to take care of our physical self first, where we start to grow a mentality that says, well, I gotta do that, gotta do that, gotta do all these other things except seek God. And when we get into that mentality, our priorities will get screwed up. And when our priorities get out of whack, when all of a sudden we've developed a mentality that does not put You first, that's when we're going to start starving ourselves spiritually. We're going to be dull. We're not going to be able to get through the things that we need to get through. Father, thank You for all the blessings in life. Thank You for the good things. Thank You for the activities that we enjoy with our family. Thank You for our jobs and our income. And thank You, Father, for providing so many things above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. But none of this is supposed to come in front of You. None of it. And so, Lord, I've delivered the message. I've been faithful to meditate in the Scriptures You led me to, because the body of Christ is facing this assault on their priorities more than ever before. Father God, we just cry out and we say, wake us up. Help us to see how we've gotten our priorities mixed up. And Lord, for those that are their priorities are straight, well then praise God, what a great example they are. Father, we just praise You. And Lord, we just say this, we are not going to starve spiritually. Not going to do it. Yes. Eyes closed and heads bowed. Folks, when I say this, I don't say it to be doom or gloom or anything like that. And this is going to, you know, be received differently by different people. This isn't necessarily negative. I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost. But listen, there are things coming to this nation. There are things coming to your life. And things are coming that will try to raise up to be against your life that you will need to be prepared for. You will need to be found full of God's Word. You will need to be prepared to have the right words to speak, the right faith to declare, in order to persevere and not be hurt by the things that are on the horizon. God is preparing His people. He's getting them ready. Not for darkness, not for failure, but so that you can prevail, so that you can be the light, so you can walk in the paths of righteousness and have your needs met, that you would be a testimony before Almighty God. But the devil is assaulting the people of God in the area of physical needs, priorities, and spiritual starvation. The devil wants you to be spiritually starved and malnourished. Don't let it happen. Father God, we just bless You tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, anyone here that you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you speak with your mouth or declare that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The good news is God wants to save you. He sent Jesus, who went to that cross, who shed his blood, paid the price for all of our sins. He faced every temptation in this world so that he could be a merciful high priest who would seek to assist and relieve those that cry out to him. If you're here tonight, if you are not sure of your eternal destiny, if today was your last day on this earth, if you're not sure if you'd be in heaven or hell, I want to tell you the good news. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God made heaven for you. And the Bible says that if you'll believe upon Christ, he'll give you eternal life. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. But if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to receive eternal life. I want my sins washed and cleansed. Folks, please know you're not joining this church or signing up for anything here. You're just responding to God. But if you're here tonight and you'd want to be saved and you want to make sure that heaven is your home, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can just pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone that would say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. I want to make sure that my sins are washed. I want to know that I'm saved. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that would say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know that I'm saved. I'm born again. I also want to give this invitation. If you've been going through the things that were described in tonight's message, if you look over your life and you just know in your heart that you have failed in your priorities, and I don't mean just you missed it a little bit, I mean, but you're walking in an extended time of failed priorities and you want to get that right, or if you feel like you've allowed yourself to spiritually starve and you know that you need to, you know, repent, you know, and just get a brand new start with God. I just want to pray with you. Again, I'm not going to make you come up front or anything. But if that's you, could you lift your hand here tonight? Yeah, I see several hands. You can put them down. God loves you. That's why we've got a merciful high priest. He's sympathetic. He knows what pulls and pressures us and all these things that come against us. He was there. He's been through it all. If you lifted your hand in any form or fashion, pray these words with us. Let's all just pray this prayer. Let's talk to God. Pray this with me. Speak these words out of your mouth. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand up. God is good. He loves you. Folks, and just so you know, I say this all the time. My preaching is also for me. I think of the words of Kenneth E. Hagin when he said this. He said, the greatest challenge of my life is to live up to 50% of my preaching. I'll tell you what, just so you know, like, you know, when a preacher, this should be the case, but it certainly is for this preacher, that anything that I share, you know, it challenges me. And I don't ever look at this as, well, this is just for you. No, it's for all of us. You know, especially the Bible says that if you preach it, you better be a doer of it. Let's just go ahead and give God all the glory. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Father, for the patience of the people. We thank you that your hand is upon them to bless them, to strengthen them. And Lord God, we are not going to be spiritually starving in these days. We're not going to fail the test of priorities. We're going to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.